Okay, our reading today comes from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. If you try and follow along in your Bible, I don't think you'll be able to because it's selected verses. So I skip around with it. Okay, 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. I passed on to you as most important what I also received. Christ died for our sins in line with the Scriptures. He was buried and rose on the third day in line with the Scriptures. He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at once. Most of them are still alive to this day, though some have died. So the message that is preached says that Christ has been raised from the dead. Then how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. But someone will say, how will the dead raised? What kind of body will they have when they come back? Look, fool, when you put a seed into the ground, it does not come back to life unless it dies. When you put it in the ground, it does not have the shape that it will have, but it's a bare grain of wheat or some other seed. It is the same with the resurrection of the dead. A rotting body is put into the ground, but what is raised will not ever decay. It is degraded when it is put into the ground, but it is raised in glory. It is weak when it is put into the ground, but it is raised in power. It is a physical body when it is put into the ground, but it is raised as a spiritual body. When the rotting body has been clothed in what cannot decay, and the dying body has been clothed in what cannot die, then this statement in Scripture will happen. Death has been swallowed up by a victory. The word of God for the people of God. And your bulletins, I think they were in there last week and this week also. You have the scripture readings. You know, a couple of people have told me, you know, they're glad to put them back. If you do not already, you know, I urge you to use these to read the scripture. Spend 15 minutes a day, people, 15 minutes a day in God's word. You know, and I guarantee you it will change your relationship with God and change your life. We've been talking about the Apostles' Creed. And we come to the last two statements in the creed today. I believe in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. An early statement of faith, a statement of faith by the early church of what believers then, and you know, has continued with believers now, what we believe. But it also answers questions, you know, that people have been asking, you know, since the beginning of time. That, you know, the early church wanted to boil down to a concise statement, you know, to the point, and it is, every bit of it, to the point of what believers believed, you know, that all these people were coming to belief in Jesus, you know, and they were being baptized, you know, so they would memorize the Apostles' Creed before they were baptized to know just exactly you know, what it is they believe. You know, and I think that these statements answer questions that we get asked or people ask all the time. Especially our two statements today. I believe in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. When people ask a lot, what happens when we die? Younger days, I never really thought much about dying. You know, it's just, knew it was going to happen one day, just didn't think about it. But then, as you grow older and you have kids and grandkids, you know, you think about, hey, you know, I want to watch them grow up. You know, and think about, you know, all of seeing all of my grandparents pass. You know, and I remember them. You know, but I was young. You know, and thinking, you know, I want my grandkids, you know, to remember. You know, to know who I am, you know, to remember me. But I've been asked many times will I ever see them again? When somebody loses a family member, a close friend, having to do a funeral for somebody that I've never met before. It hasn't happened here, but in Morgan City, I just don't know what about that place. One year, Amanda did 23 funerals and did not know any of them. You know, the funeral homes there had a list of every pastor, you know, in the area, and if they did not have a pastor to do a funeral, they were just supposed to go down the list and call, and I just told her one day, darling, they're not calling anybody but you because they know that, you know, you're not going to tell them no. You know, tell them no. You know, so I guarantee you everybody they call is telling them no, if they're calling them at all. 23 funerals for somebody that you've never met before. You know, and I tell you this because one day I got a phone call and they asked me, said, Aaron, can you come do a funeral? I said, yeah, okay, when? Right now. Do what? You know, funeral is an hour. I said, oh, you got to be kidding. And I said, well, the pastor that was supposed to come didn't, you know, he called and said he can't come. Will you come? I said, yeah, you know, I'll come. To walk into a funeral home, you've never met the family, never laid eyes on them before. And they look at you as soon as you walk in. You think, we'll see him again? Did he go to heaven? You know, I said, how do I know? You know, I've never seen you. You know, will we go to heaven? You know, are you saved? You believe in God, believe in Jesus? Well, that's your answer right there. You know, but you know, people have been asking these questions from the beginning of time. You know, and I say that because, now get this word right, paleontologist, everybody know what I'm talking about? They have found burials going back 90 to 100,000 years. And this article I read, it made it sure it was intentional burials. It's not just somebody walking in the cave and dying. You know, there's a set of caves, and of all places, the Holy Land, called School Caves, S-C-H-U-L-E, School Caves, you know, that people are buried in. And then there's a network of caves called the Acosta Caves, you know, around the area of Nazareth where Jesus grew up. You know, and the article said they have intentional burials. You know, they found skeletons, they found pieces of, you know, skeletons, you know, and they said they have colored pigments around the bodies, and they think some of the bodies were even covered in this colored pigment. You know, and so there's seashells all over the place. Some of them with holes in them. They think, you know, they were probably necklaces, you know, or some kind of jewelry. You know, said one man had some kind of digging tool placed on his chest. You know, I said it was a little boy, you know, that had like some kind of amulet that was placed on him. But the whole thing was getting at that intentional burials that they, you know, and this, the article said this is when Neanderthals were roaming the earth before any language or anything like that, language, music, anything, that long ago, people had rituals about burying people. But the article was saying they think they were doing all of this, that they were going on to something after this life. That there was something else. They had no idea what, but there was something else after this. So from at least 100,000 years ago to today, people have been asking the question, is there something after this? In the Old Testament, the Israelites believed in the realm of the dead, and they call it Sheol, S-H-E-O-L. You know, in the Old Testament, but it's pretty much forbidden to kind of talk about it. You don't read a whole lot, you know, about it. But they believed that when you died, that's where you went. Now, when you get towards the end of the Old Testament, right before the New Testament, you get a little more of it, that they're starting to think about it, to try and understand what happens in the next life. But by the time Jesus comes along, they've pretty much established what they believe happens when they die. That when you die and then you enter Sheol, or in the Greek, as it you'll see in some places, called Hades, H-A-D-E-S. You know, and this place, you know, and it's all, some places it's called Gehenna. You know, and some places, if you go back to the Family Life Center, the mural hanging on the wall, part of it has a place called Tartarus. You know, that's another place. But you either go in one of those places or you went to paradise. The word paradise comes from a Persian word which means the king's gardens. This was a beautiful place. Water, all kind of water features, all kind of trees, animals, just beautiful. The only way to get there, to get into that, the king's garden, was to be invited by the king. The king would open the door, and the king would let you in. Paradise. The righteous went there. Remember the thief hanging on the cross next to Jesus? Remember me? And what did Jesus say? Today. Today. Not tomorrow, but today. You will be with me in paradise. Adam and Eve walking in the cool of the evening with God. The king's garden. Paradise. But between Hades, Sheol, Gehenna, Tartarus, and paradise, there's a gulf. You know, that you can't go from one to the other. Remember Jesus telling the parable about the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus was a poor man. The rich man never paid any attention to him. They both die. The rich man goes to you know where. The poor man said he's in a paradise in heaven in the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man saying, you know, just dip your finger, you know, send it to my brothers to warn them. Jesus said, no, there's a gulf between us. You cannot go from one to the other. And Jesus talking about the Son of Man returning with his holy angels, the dead being raised for judgment, the righteous invited to go to heaven, and the unrighteous to those lower places. No kids in here. Hell. Hell is a troubling place for a lot of people. I'm going to ask this question. Does everybody believe in hell? Huh? You know, I have met some believers, some Christians that say they don't. You know, I said, if you believe in heaven, you have to believe in hell. But reading about it, you know, it would seem to me that God is giving us a choice. Even after we die, giving us a choice. You know that when we pray the Lord's Prayer a little while ago, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That tells me where God lives, where God dwells, that heaven is a place where God's will is always done. People in heaven always doing good, always being kind to one another, always thinking of the other person, before them, for themselves. People in heaven are always good, always seeking to bring glory to God. Now, I used this illustration this morning. One person had heard about it before. You had these two pictures. Pictures are exactly the same. One is in hell, the other one in heaven. The picture in hell, everybody's sitting around a table, just unbelievable table of food. And everybody's got either forks or spoons, you know, taped to their hands. And they're trying to eat. But the spoons are so long, they can't feed themselves. And people are just starving to death. They're dying, falling. But you go to heaven, and you have the exact same picture. Forks and knives, you know, or spoons tied to their hands. but everybody's fat and happy. How? They're feeding each other. They're not thinking about themselves. They're thinking about the person next to them, the person across from them, the person at the end of the table. Everybody's taking care of themselves. That heaven is a place where God's will is always done. But have you ever met somebody that just does not like being nice to people? Huh? There are some people that I believe do not want to go to heaven, because if you go to heaven, do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God, and that some people will say, I don't want that. I would rather be in narcissistic hell while all I have to think about is myself, and I don't have to think about anybody else. I know there are some people that will make that choice. They're not really interested in heaven. They don't want it. It's not that God is sitting them there. That's their choice. To go out and go to a place where they only think about themselves. The place, Dante's Inferno. Inferno. You find, you get to the bottom level, and what are people doing? They're eating each other. Yeah, they're thinking about each other. All this is a way of describing people that are narcissistic and only care about themselves. Visiting Angola State Prison one year, many years ago, Burl Cain was still the warden at the time, and he was inviting ministers all the time. Come on in. Come on in. The more you come, the better off we are. Going for the dedication of a new chapel. He's given us a tour, and way off in the distance, you see, you know, they call them camps, you know, surrounded by fence, barbed wire and everything. You know, I asked him, you know, I said, what's that? He said, that's the people that don't care about anybody but themselves. All they do is want to fight 24 hours a day. Don't want to follow any rules. They don't care. They just want to fight. So we put them out there and let them fight. We pick up the pieces. That there are some people like that. C.S. Lewis said, hell is a place where the doors are locked from the inside. It's not that God sent you there, that you made a choice to live in hell, even hell on earth, because our life is primarily focused on ourselves. To focus on just us and nobody else. That as believers, when we affirm our belief in eternal life, we're saying that we know, we believe, but more than just believe, trust. Do you trust in God? Trust. You know, there's two things for any and every relationship has to have. Two things. Trust. And what? Communication. You have to be able to talk to each other. Marriage especially. But even in your relationship with God, you have to communicate. You have to talk to God, and you have to allow God to talk to you. And you have to trust in God. It's more than a belief. It's trusting. Trusting in God. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come back for you. He said, in my Father's house are what? Many dwelling places. So when we affirm, when we believe, when we trust in everlasting life, we're believing that we will be in that place where God lives. So is there any question about what happens to us after we die here? God answers that in his Son, Jesus Christ. He says, look at my Son. Look at my Son. Over the last 6 weeks, we've been talking about the Apostles' Creed, what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. That when Moses stood in that burning bush and asked, who are you? And God says, I am. God was saying, I am existence itself. I created everything. Everything is contingent upon God. And that for some reason, the only thing I can think of is love, that God took his very essence, poured into a human being, and that human being, Jesus Christ, his son, came and walked among us and gave himself for us, even while we were yet sinners. And John tells us, in the beginning was a word. God's desire to reveal himself to us. In the beginning was the word, and the word used for word means logic. That God poured God logic into his son to tell us and show us what we as human beings are meant to be like. And in the end, he gives himself to suffer and die on a cross. Because at looking at the cross, we see the worst of humanity. His death on the cross is an indictment against the human race. But still, even at that, what does he say? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Offers us forgiveness, grace, mercy. He takes upon us our pain, our brokenness of the human race, and offers us grace and mercy. And then what do we say? We believe he rose on the third day, that he really did die, but he really did live. And God says, you want to know what happens? Look at my son. Is there life after death? Yes, there is. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. What? And those that believe in me, even though they die, they shall live. Our scripture today, Paul says, look, he came back. He appeared to Cephas. He appeared to the 12. He appeared to 500 people. Some of them are still alive. They're not alive now. Go and talk to them. 500 people. And Paul says, I was one of those ones was persecuting, trying to kill the church. That, you know, no, I didn't believe. But then he came to me, a bright light. And now I've seen him and I believe. And then Paul quotes the book of Isaiah. Death has been swallowed up by victory. Where, O death, is your sting? So I believe in resurrection of the body and life everlasting. Oh, I more than believe in it. I trust in it and I'm counting on it. That when we look at Jesus' death and resurrection, that is what we are going to be. This earthly tent that we live in is destroyed. Our physical body is replaced with a building from God, eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Jesus, the resurrection and the life, all those who believe in him will never die. So this is what we believe. This is what we trust in. Not some pie in the sky. This is what heaven's going to be like. When you believe this, it should change your outlook on life, the way you live your life, the way you look at adversity, the way you look at pain. But heaven is not a place, you know, it's not something we spend all of our time focusing on. It has been said of some people, they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. God is preparing us here for what we're supposed to do there. If you're not going to do it here, you're not going to like it up there. To be prepared here. To do the work of God here. To make this as much like God's kingdom as we can here in this life. Paul says this. God has prepared things for those who love him, but no eye has seen or ear has heard. They haven't crossed the mind of any human being. That we don't know what it's going to be like. Pearly gates, streets of gold, just trying to get just the unimaginable to describe to us because we cannot understand. Well, I like the one way in the Bible they talk about it, a wedding reception. Okay, how many have had daughters they've had got married off? One, only two of us? Huh? You know, if you have a daughter, you know you got to pay for the thing. Huh? When your daughter gets married, had to do that twice. It's not cheap. You know, but a wedding reception. You know, it's beautiful. You know, and they're all different. You know, some of them, you know, may have just the couple, a happy couple having champagne. Some of them may have open bars. Whoa. You know. Some of them, you know, may have just hors d'oeuvres. Some of them have sit-down dinners. But you're surrounded with family, with friends, you know, celebrating, having a good time, out on the dance floor, boogieing. And then what happens at the end of the night? You go home and you collapse. In joy and triumph. Triumph that it's over. We made it. Heaven. Heaven to me is the same thing. You're surrounded by family, friends, those that have gone on before you. You get there, you collapse. I can finally rest. But you hear those words, welcome home. You get there and you just cannot believe it, that there you are. Welcome home. So there is life after this life, surrounded by the people you love. There's an old story I've shared before with people. Back in the 1800s, doctor, used to make house calls. You know, he's going around, you know, in his horse-drawn carriage. He's got his dog with him. He stops at this man's house. He leaves a dog on the porch, and the preacher goes inside. You know, he's talking to the man, you know, inside. It's starting, the weather getting outside really bad, snowing, and the dog starts scratching at the door to get in, you know. And the man tells the preacher, hey, you going to let him in? You know, why is he scratching? And the preacher says, hey, all he knows is he's never been in your house. All he knows is his master is in there. So it must be a pretty good place, away from everything that's out here. So he wants to be in here with his master. Is that where you want to be? In the place where your master is? Away from everything here to be in heaven? Resurrection of the body, everlasting life, beautiful, powerful, meant to influence us how we live our daily lives. You know, y'all may not like this part. I found this while I was researching this. There's a place in Texas. They take donated bodies. And you know what they do with them? They put them outside in a field, and they cover them with a cage and watch them decompose. They cover them with a cage to keep animals away, birds and animals away from them. And they study them decomposition. You know, and they say as soon as they put them out there, there's little microbes that start, you know, decomposing. You know, your body is meant to be recycled, huh? You know, that is meant, you know, bones and everything will finally just pass away and recycle. That they study these things for bodies just left out in the open. Now think of way back 100,000 years ago. They were putting the bodies in a cave intentionally, thinking there was something after this life. And today, we believe, we say that yes, I believe in everlasting life, the resurrection of the body. But we get to the part, what will you look like physically? Age. Will you look just as you are? I love the part, no more pain, no more suffering. You know, but you know, Jesus recognized everybody. Everybody recognized Jesus. Well, except for Mary, you know, when she first saw him at the tomb, you know, she didn't know who he is till he spoke. But then she recognized him. But the 12, you know, the ones at Emmaus, they didn't recognize him till in the breaking of bread. He was buried a physical body. He rose a spiritual body. So you're raised a spiritual body. That yes, we'd be able to recognize people. We'd be able to feel and touch and taste. Jesus wasn't a ghost. He came back. He said, feed me. We'd be able to experience things. One thing I don't want to experience is pain. Boy, last night was rough. Usually it's just one thing at a time hurts. Last night, everything was hurting all at the same time. Boy, it was rough. Knees, hips, shoulders. You know, the thing to get to heaven, there's no more of that. But there is a continuity of the body. The same, but different. But, you know, people ask me, what about the people cremated? So, well, you know, God, I believe God has his DNA code, you know, in his Rolodex. People used to use Rolodexes. He may have a computer by now. He may have caught up with everything. That I think God can recreate whatever he wants to. That yes, he's going to give us bodies, spiritual bodies. There is life after this death. We'll be able to see each other, know each other. We'll be able to eat. We'll be able to do things. But are you so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good? Are you doing the things now, here, to prepare for what is coming? A rotting body has been put into the ground, but what is raised will not ever decay. It is degraded when it's put into the ground, but is raised in glory. It is weak when it's put into the ground, but it's raised in power. The physical body, when it's put into the ground, but it is raised a spiritual body. Death, death, aware death at your sting. Death has been swallowed up in victory. You know, I don't do this very often, but I'm going to give an invitation today. I hope each and every one of you here trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Because without that, there is no way to heaven. It's just really simple. You don't have to come up here. You don't have to raise your hand. You just have to say from right where you are, just a little three-letter word, yes. Yes, God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered unto Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. But the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, from thence, he will come to judge the living, the quick, and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and what? Life everlasting. All it takes is a little three-letter word. Yes. Yes, Lord, I believe. Let us pray. Father, Lord God, we come to you this day and we simply say yes. Yes, God, I believe that you are. I trust in you. I not only trust, I'm counting on you, Father, Son, Spirit. Come this day, Lord God, come into our lives, come into my life. Save me from death, Lord God. Lord Jesus, I choose to follow you as my Lord. Help me to do your will. Help me to follow your way. Yes, Holy Spirit, I need you. Fill me with your power. form me, shape me to be the person you want me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.